Hello everyone, welcome to the Horse Business Podcast. Today, I am so honored to have Jennifer Williams as our guest. Jennifer is a Grand Prix dressage rider and trainer. She has several years of experience with equestrian sales and creating top high-performance athletes. She has ridden to the International Grand Prix level on multiple horses and was the National Grand Prix champion in 2020 and recently won the FEI Grand Prix CDI 3-star, sponsored by Pro Elite on week 3 right here at the Attiquan Global Dressage Festival. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello. It's great to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm great. It's a beautiful day in paradise.
Yes. Very nice. Weather is great. So there's some few some clouds here and there, but no rain yet. So
that's very good riding weather.
Oh, yeah. So we just want to learn a little bit more about you. So can you share just insights into the journey, into the equestrian world? How did you get started? How do you got interested in dressage and everything?
Yeah, I mean, I started when I was quite young. My parents had a small farm, and my mom was always loved horses. And so I started riding a little bit around 2 and 3 years old, just, you know, behind my mom or getting led around on small horses. And she was always very passionate about animals and horses, not so much competitive, but we started doing a lot of trail ride and 4-H and then pony club. And I was fortunate enough to get a very nice Arabian thoroughbred when I was around 12 years old that had enough movement that I could feel the ability to influence her movement and make her even nicer than what she offered. And that really started that passion for dressage and being able to influence the
nice. Yeah. Nice. That's great. So you started back in Washington, right?
I started in Washington. What? Yes. Okay. My parents still lived there. And around 17, I started working for a breeder just 5 minutes from where my parents lived, Charlene Summers, and the farm was Somerville.
Mm-hmm. That's where you are right now.
It is. I've been there for 26 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice. Since I was 17, and she was like a second mom to me and really believed in me, and I rode a lot of her horses, and some knew more than I did and taught me, and some I helped influence, and it was a great... It was a great start to my career there.
Nice, nice. So training and competing at that Grand Prix level requires a lot of dedication and hard work. So what does your training look like?
Well, you know, I try to be very intentional and focus inward on what I can do best for the horses, right? So when they make mistakes or when I'm teaching them something, I'm always trying to ask myself, okay, how could I do this better? How can I teach them to do what I want with the least amount of pressure possible?
What do you consider to be that biggest challenge of competing both physically and mentally?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to... Yeah, I mean, it's not easy. I have a lot of notes in my phone from every competition where I have some distinction or some takeaway, and I'll learn something, and you'll really think you got it figured out. And then the sport is very humbling. The horses are humbling. And I'll relearn that same lesson again 2 years later, and I'll look back at my notes and be like, I already learned this. So it's constantly evolving, and you're always trying to figure something out and then maintain that. And yeah, and just keep it fun. And really, it's important to me that the horse stays enjoying the process along the way. And you know, it's not always so easy. Mm-hmm. We all do our best.
Yeah, takes a lot of time for sure. And
a lot of time.
Yeah. So outside of the riding and the training, what are some of your personal and mental strategies that you use? I have read that you do some Tony Robbins seminar.
Yeah.
Are you still doing that?
I do. Yes. My husband and I started, well, we've been listening to the Tony Robbins tapes and CDs for years, but we did our first live event
in
2019.
Nice.
And in November, actually, and it was right before I had...
Yeah, right before COVID. Probably the last one that he did.
It was, exactly. And it was here in West Palm Beach.
Oh.
And might have been Miami, actually. But we came, and I had already received the grant to train with Debbie that year from the Dressage Foundation. So I knew I was coming for a couple months. But going to that Tony Robbins event really got my husband excited about being here and how maybe we could make something happen where we could come as a family.
Mm.
So that really changed everything to have my family here, and we had so much fun, and we loved it. And then COVID hit that March in 2020, and that actually changed everything for us to be able to stay and do this seasonally. My husband was unable to work remotely, And so that became why we started coming here.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, it was a big change then for you.
It's a big change, and I was just so blessed and honored to be able to bring my children here with me. Yeah, so we've done this all together, and they've been very supportive.
So they're going to school here?
They go to school here. We start in Washington. We enroll them in Washington in September. And then we re-enroll them here to finish out the year in Florida.
Nice.
So, yeah, we're here about 7 months now from November through June 1st.
Well,
that time.
Yeah. So they are able to finish here.
We finish out the year, and then we head home for the summer. So
nice.
Quite a bit of transition period for them.
But they're pretty flexible, though. I mean, they're used to
it. They are. I mean, they're used to it. But, you know, I think it comes with its challenges. They have their friend group there and, you know, and they're very supportive of mom living out her dreams. And I love for them to see me pursuing what I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
And eventually they'll have their passions that they'll want to pursue.
So one of the horses that you are currently competing is, I don't know how you pronounce it, Joe?
I call him Yo-PK, but I think it's Yoop, you know, from in Holland. So I'm probably not saying it right either, but we call him Yo-P. And
Joe-PK.
Yeah.
Okay. Joe-PK. So can you tell us a little bit more about him and his future plans?
Oh, my goodness. I'm so lucky to have such a wonderful horse. He makes me smile. When we purchased him as a 4.5-year-old out of Holland, we were able to put together a partnership. And that's been one of the main ways I've been able to find and put horses into this, you know, competition environment. And Bob and Tina Desroche, who also owned Million previously, they were in this partnership along with my friend Lisa Norling. So those two, plus myself, are the owners.
You're par. Par owner.
Yes.
Of the OPK.
Yes, yes. And that's been a really fun journey. It's so much more rewarding to have, you know, people in it together and experiencing the highs and lows. And as a rider, you know, to have a team that love and supports the horse and yourself, it's just been a really wonderful journey.
How does works? I mean, you guys get together and make decisions on when you ride, or they trust you?
They've been great. I mean, I just kind of tell them my overarching plan, like, this is what I'm thinking and this is what we're doing, and they've been very supportive. And again, it just makes it so much more enjoyable, the process, when you have more people together.
Yeah.
I've been in Somerville, like we talked about, 26 years, and just this last fall, we actually sold the farm, and now it's called Sky Reach Farm. And so I've been continuing to come back and go there, you know, in the summer.
So you think you eventually will transition here full-time, or you still want to be out?
You know, it's something that, you know, we'll just have to consider each year as going forward. But, you know, going back in the summer, they live out 24/7 there. They have large paddocks that get cleaned like a stall, and they have their sheds, and we blanket them appropriately. But they really live like horses out there, and they're so happy to do that. Thanks, bud. And yeah, I mean, it's, you know, and the weather is more mild, it's 7 degrees, and so it's a really good break from the fast pace here, the heat.
Yeah,
you know,
it's very warm for
such a different environment, stabling wise as well, and fungus, all of that. So it's just a nice break, and
for the horses,
it really is. And
for you guys too.
Absolutely. And we were fortunate enough, you know, Canada, Langley, they did some beautiful shows. Calgary did some beautiful CDIs. And so to go back there in that more mild temperature was, you know, also very nice.
You'll so be able to show there as well when you roll back.
Exactly.
Nice. Nice. That's great. So the partnership between the rider and the horse is essential. So how do you build and nature this partnership and to achieve that level of harmony for the success that you've been having?
Yeah, I try to do all of the things that I'm training or asking or teaching. I do them in short, little and often bursts. Like, so if they learn something new for a day, I leave it there. You know, I reward them for tries, not for perfection. And I work the horses about 4 days a week. So usually it's a Monday, Tuesday, and then on Wednesday there's a nice hack or a lunge or a day off. And then work them again Thursday, Friday, and again on Saturday, something light. And I just, for me, whenever the pressure of outside influences or like, you need to have more fit, you need to do more, you need to have a perfection, that generally doesn't always bode well to fun and of course loving the job. And so it's really trying to stay true to yourself on what you believe and how you want to, you know, develop that relationship with, and keep that relationship strong with your horse. Because I always want to feel like they're enjoying what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's for sure the most important part too. So with a career full of remarkable achievements, could you share with us what do you consider to be the most proudest accomplishment so far?
It has to be with my last horse, Million. He made it to the Nations Cup team in Aachen, Germany in 2021. And I got that horse in my life when he was 13 years old. He was barely fourth level, but he always had a good knack for Piaf Passage. And I remember, you know, telling one of my students, this would be an amazing U25 horse. Like, no, he's too old. And I'm like, I think I have to have him in my life. And, you know, nobody thought he was going to do anything, right? And then just every year he got better and better. And to go to Aachen, he was 19 years old. He was the oldest horse at the horse show.
Wow.
And to be over 71% and sixth place in the special was, I mean, so proud of that moment. And just to be amongst some of those riders.
It right.
was very, very special.
Nice. Wow. Yeah. That sounds like very special for us as well. How long did you had it for?
Yeah, so we got him at 13, and I had some really lovely owners, Bob and Tina Desroches of Thunder Ridge Sport Horses, that believed enough in him and I. Well, first, I had done my first syndicate with him, mm-hmm. and so there was a group of people that helped me for a year to get him to the next level and be able to experience the CDIs, and then Bob and Tina came in and believed in us enough to keep us going to through some Olympic trials and where he shortlisted, and then
your rides for
he's still 20, he's 22 this year.
Oh.
I rode him through 2022.
Wow.
And then he went back home this last season to retire, and they have a wonderful rider there that's keeping him fit. He's still doing all the Grand Prix playfully. And sound, healthy, happy as can be.
No,
just, I used to joke, he was my little Danish Viking, but he really was a horse that let me dream further because he was always so fit and healthy and sound and just had the want to do it.
Nice.
So
that's great.
Nice
that's
to have a horse like that in your life.
Yeah. So in the midst of the busy schedule of the season, and how do you find moments to unwind and recharge? Are there any activities outside of the equestrian arena?
Yes, I
really
love this already. I love to ballroom dance.
Nice.
So I do that about 6 hours a week.
Wow.
Well, I'd say 2 hours, 3 days a week I go, and in the evening time. And that really helped me with fitness and balance. And it's made me a better rider. I am now having to learn how to be a follower instead of the leader. And that was a little hard for me in the beginning. And, I mean, it's really helped with fitness. And my kids actually are both getting into that as well.
Oh, really?
Yes. So that's been a lot of fun. And they're both very, very good. And they work very hard.
They're both doing it.
Yeah. Yes. You know, I thought for my son it would be fun. You know, he's confident enough to take a lady out onto the dance floor. You know, that's really going to be great. And Lexi, it's taught, you know, a lot of poise and confidence.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't mind what they want to do. I just want them to enjoy and
have fun and
learn.
And if having fun with you, that's even better.
Absolutely, yes. And I love that they're coming with me, and it's something that we're still doing together. It would maybe feel a little different if I was just going by myself.
Then I'd feel like, maybe, you know, I got to
find your husband goes too. Okay, this is a funny side story. We had a little bet last year going on that we were both, you know, working out, getting fit, and whoever lost a week of like our fitness schedule, I would take a golf lesson and he would take a dance. So that has been the extent of his dance and the extent of my golf. But it did make it so that if we needed to go out on the dance floor, we could hold our
own. Okay. Yeah. And you do it also at a competitive level?
I do.
All night.
I do. Wow. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I don't know. That's just my personality. It's like if I'm going to put my energy into
my thing, confused
that, and I just think the growth. I'm such a growth-minded person that if there's anything that I can measure to see if I'm improving. I just really enjoy that process.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So it's here in Florida. You also do it there in Washington?
I do. It's easier here. It's closer. I go to Fred Astaire in West Palm Beach. And my teachers there have been incredible. And it's very close. So I can do that at home. It's much, everything's far. Everything's an hour. Anything I want to do.
If you are far from Seattle, and everything's an hour from Seattle.
So now let's talk a little bit more about your business. So you're
saying you're transitioning farms and in Washington, or
it's the same farm? So
Name for you, ownership.
Yes, Jude and Drew Christ now own Sky Reach Farm, which was the Somerville. Paula Hellman, for 11 years we owned it together.
Wow.
And so I started with the breeder at 17, and then a client and dear friend of mine in 2012, we actually purchased the farm.
Mm.
We kept it going another 11 years, and then now it's under new ownership and in the best possible hands.
Nice.
We can still come back. They're making it even more beautiful.
Nice.
And so we're very fortunate about that. And
so you're still working on that farm?
Yeah.
And then you work here at Ida, right?
Yes.
Nice.
Nice. Yes. And last year with the grant, I had Yopi over at ODED.
Mm.
I have a coach here, ODED Shimoni, and then my coach at home, Christoph Thiele, which Christoph and I have been working together almost 9 years now.
Nice.
And then ODED since I've been coming to Florida the past five.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That's great. That's great. So what do you find to be the most rewarding aspect of this profession? I mean, I know probably the horses. I mean, a lot of
the horses.
Yes, for sure.
Oh my gosh, I get a little teary. It's like I get to do what I love every day.
Right.
And I remember when I was young, there was this moment when I was young where my parents, they were a little like, you know, this has been fun. Now it's time to get a real job, get more serious. And I remember thinking at that time, this was 17, I was like, even if I can't make a living at this, this is like, I've got to figure out.
Right.
Because this is what I love. I mean, every day that I get to ride my horses, and if they learn something new or if they try something, you're just like, it's just the greatest life. And they are just so understanding, and they know if you're not in a good mood or if you're in a good mood.
Right.
All of these things. And they're just, it makes you so introspective of what energy you're putting out, you know? And I love that process, and I love them learning and working so hard to try to make you proud of them and them being proud of themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The connection with the horse.
The connection.
It's really important for sure.
So it probably changes every day, and it's not very typical, I mean, having kids and everything.
So can you walk us through a day in the life of Jennifer Williams and what tasks and responsibilities you have like on a daily basis?
Yes. Let me see if I can. So right now my husband's been home for the last week. So he helps me a lot with kid duty.
Right.
And so right now it's a little more intense because we're getting the kids off to school. Then I go ride my usually around 8 horses. I usually cap it 8 per day. And that usually needs to include lessons. And then I come home, pick up the kids from school. We have a short little amount of time for homework. Then it's off to dance. I usually spend my late evenings answering emails, updating the website, any of those type of things. And, you know, on those Wednesdays and Saturdays when the horses are hacking and they can have a lighter day, that's usually days we're doing media or trying horses for sale for clients or going to other farms if I need to do that. So really trying to balance, you know, keeping sponsors, getting their content what they need, keeping the website up to date, you know, all of the sales information, editing videos and photos and reels. It's a lot.
Yeah.
And just saying it out loud probably means I need to do a better job of delegating some of this work.
So what advice will you give to somebody, to some of these younger dressage riders, or somebody that wants to start their own horse business?
To definitely get into it over the love of the horse, not for financial, not for, you know, being in the social media aspect. I think finding a mentor it's really important that you find a mentor that doesn't just align with your riding goals, but also with your core values.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really want to find somebody that as you watch them do business and as you watch them handle their horses, it's somebody that you feel really good about emulating as you go through your career. You know, seeing how they deal with their clients and how they treat other professionals in the industry. I just think all of that is so important.
Right.
And to foster a relationship of community and, you know, team building, not just, you know, it's not all about you. It's not all about them. It's not all about winning. It's about that relationship with the horse and developing a system that you can be proud of.
Yes, yes, that's for sure.
And I think that takes mentorship, both psychology, having, you know, a mental coach, but also a mentor that can guide you along the way and maybe collapse that timetable of all the mistakes we've made along the way. If we can just let you in on some of those secrets, don't do this. that helps sometimes.
Yeah, somebody that has gone through that as well.
Absolutely.
So what are the main goals for the rest of the season and the rest of the year?
So just want to be a better rider. I want to be a better rider and do, you know, if I could get Yopi in the ring and really perform a test that he does daily at home, you know, being able to jump from the way he trains at home, everything's easy and light and fun, to put that in the ring, that would just make my heart so happy. He's a young horse. He's coming 10 this year. He has some really good tests, and then we still are learning and figuring other pieces out at times. But yeah, I mean, I would love to shortlist and make it to Europe this year. That would be a really grand goal, and to make it back to Aachen with him would be amazing. But you know, the horse decides that timeline. I'm just going to do everything that I can to be the best rider for him, to showcase his abilities and keep him loving what he's doing. That's really my big goal.
Nice. Are you going to compete the rest of the season?
Yeah, I need to decide. I have one more show that I definitely want to do. And with him being a little bit younger and him not loving it when it's really hot, you know, just little pieces of this
getting hot. Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting hot and he's young. And I try to compete not closer together than 6 weeks apart if I can, just to make sure he's got that time to, you know, rest and relax and recuperate in between and not over push.
So,
yeah.
You'll be here Friday, right?
So we have a passion for environmental sustainability. So do you implement any sustainability measurements in your business, or do you have some ideas or suggestions on how equestrians can embrace this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in Washington, we owning our own farm, it's easier, right? And there's much more land. But, you know, anytime that we can have like composting manure or eco-friendly bedding or energy efficient lighting. Here, it's more about water conservation, I would say. You know, I mean, they have their systems, but I'm a boarder here, so I'm not able to, you know, have
a lot of changes.
Yeah. And I honestly, the barns that I'm at, they work hard to do that as well. And So, you know, anytime that we can just conserve, protect, recycle,
yeah,
definitely are out there trying to do that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. So where can our listeners find more information about you and your business?
Well, I do have a website, SummerValePremierDressage.com. Mm-hmm. And then you can also follow me on Facebook and Instagram at SummerValePremierDressage.com.
Awesome.
Just Somerville Premier Dressage, I guess, on Instagram.
Nice. Thank you so much for your time today, Jennifer. This has been wonderful. I know it's a Sunday with the kids.
Sunday with the kids.
And they've been great, too. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
No problem. And thank you for joining.
You got your first...
Your first show.
Yeah. First show. Get in here, kid.
Oh, I love
you. Say some words. You could introduce yourself.
Well, yeah, introduce yourself.
What's your name?
Let me give you your microphone.
Yeah, do you want my microphone?
Okay.
All right.
Hello, my name is Lauren Sean Williams.
How old are you?
8.
Yeah. You're going to be 9 soon, aren't you?
So were you born in Florida, or where were you born?
Washington.
In Washington. Nice. Do you like horses?
Yes.
Are you fascinating? They fascinate you.
Did you like what your mom does?
Yeah. It was a pretty nice job, and... Yes,
He's a big supporter. He comes on whenever I'm showing. They come with their little signs and their flags, and nice. They're.
Yeah, you have your flag. Where?
Oh yeah, where'd it go?
Oh, in your pocket.
Oh, there it is. We got our USA. Go USA.
Go.
Oh, there it is. There we go.
USA. So were you here for the Nation Cup?
Yes,
last week.
Was
this week?
Yeah. Yeah, they came to all the tests and they cheered for the team.
Right.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've put
one. Yeah, that's really good. What's your favorite part of coming to Florida?
It's very nice, hot out. Unlike Washington, it's really cold and every day. Yeah. every day.
Favorite part of the horse shows and everything?
It's always these at the end when I can cheer for my mom. And yeah.
With Milione, you should really be able to give him good high fives in the crowd. We tried with Yopi. He wasn't having that.
He said, no thanks. There's too much going on over there.
So Yopi gets a little nervous then?
He's a little more noise sensitive. So, like, you know, which... You know, you just tell them they're okay, you know, and if they trust you, you know, they try to keep it all together.
Yes, we.
Yeah, sometimes more practice, they start to be more aware. Honestly, the only time he's really had maybe trouble with the noise is twice now coming down center line. Somebody dropped a tray of dishes behind him. So he's a little more leery coming into A, but. You know, what are you going to do? You just tell them, you're okay, and you go on. And then, yeah, at the end when they cheer, it's anything that's quick and, like, zero noise to, he's like, where did that come from?
Oh, so do you have any questions to ask him?
I wondered, how did you start getting into horses?
I got into horses. I just always knew from, like, the minute I can remember that I loved horses. And mom, grandma, Grammy Jean, she had a few horses. And so we had some fun riding and trail riding early on.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast today. We hope you enjoy it. Please remember to follow us, subscribe, and leave us a review. If you are interested in joining us as a guest or sponsor one of our episodes, feel free to email us at thehorsebusinesspodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Instagram to get the latest updates. Goodbye.